Hello everybody and welcome back to the Kamidogu podcast. I am Christopher Veljanovsky, and joining me in the virtual podcasting booth as always is the man, the myth, the legend, Toasty.
Toasty! Welcome back, combatants. It's good to have you with us again. Today, me and Christopher are extremely excited as we have the distinct electrifying pleasure of being joined by one of the pioneers in the Mortal Kombat franchise, the very first Lord Raiden to have ever existed in the debut MK game in 1992. Carlos Pessina plays a pivotal role in practically all the Mortal Kombat games to date, as he plays such a massive role behind the scenes, which you'll see unfold in this interview. Now, with that being said and out of the way, we're very eager to ask some questions, so let's get straight to it. All right, and here we are with the God of Thunder himself. To start off, I'd like to say thank you very much for joining our episode today, Carlos.
Oh, thank you. It's a blessing. I want to start off by, just thanking God, thanking, my family, friends, including you guys. And, anything I say here is representative of me and no other corporation. Just want to get that out of the way. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, to begin, before we start, before we start diving into a lot of our other precise questions, why don't you tell us fans just what Mortal Kombat has meant to you and how it feels to have been a part of it throughout all these years?
Well, Mortal Kombat, more or less has been a blessing. It started as a group of friends getting together and, creating something that they thought was going to be fun. And, we never thought it was going to be, to an extent we wanted it to be a hit, but you going into it, you never feel like, oh yeah, anything I touch is gold. Cause it's not really like that. There's things that you work on that, just you're proud of. And then sometimes you have failures. That thing just, skyrocketed, culmination of collaboration and, very talented people all around. And, it's just a blessing being a part of that. And then continuing that franchise all the way up until, just recently when I left the studio. So.
Nice. So, of course, both yourself and your brother, Daniel, are very, very well known in the Mortal Kombat community. So how did you both get into martial arts and what styles do you personally train in?
So my brother got into martial arts early on in his teens, doing judo. And then after that, doing Chinese martial arts. And, he's gone over the history with that more or less. But I would say when my dad would take him to class, he'd go in to check in on, his son and see how the teacher's, doing. And this is back in the 70s, and I would go in with him, wait around, we would wait in the front foyer, you'd have a seating room. And then, you got the Chinese teacher teaching, my brother and a bunch of students. And I was like, maybe, because my brother's 9 years older, so he's in his teens. I would have been like 5 or 6. Just seeing them and stretching, okay. And, I would stretch and kind of mimic that. But, as a kid, you wouldn't have that focus, because you're 5 years old, you're going to run around and you're going to want to play and do other stuff. But eventually when I started getting to, 10, 11 years old, started stretching out with them, started working out, he would teach me like, hey, I learned this today, and kind of teach me. And from then on, probably about like between 12 and 14 would go to start going to classes with them, because you got to understand I don't mean to say this in a, it's not derogatory. It's just the way, people's lives are. You grew up poor and it's very expensive to do these things. But my dad also wanted us, and my mother wanted us, to stay out of, trouble. Because all the Pessinas get into trouble a lot. We decided, I should. Yeah, exactly. I have three brothers, three older. It's four of us brothers together. So, it's just that. That's how it is. That's another story for another time. But, between those ages, started going to work out with him. I started off with Lama Kung Fu with him. And I got to say, that was like, you know, 13, 14. I'm 54, so I can't remember like all the, you know, what exact date did you start martial arts? But let's say, you know, about 11, 12, I started, you know, and, you know, started going with him. And that's how we met, you know, Anthony Marquez and Ho Sung Pak and Ho Young Pak, a bunch of other people that, you know, weren't in Mortal Kombat, but we still keep in touch with. And then at about 15, my brother decided, you know what, I want to, you know, besides working, I want to make some money on the side teaching martial arts. And he decided, you know what, I'm going to teach a few people. I had a friend, Arthur Gonzalez, that he's like my longtime buddy since 5 years old. You know, and there's not too many people we can say about this. But so I view him as my brother. You know, he wanted to start to learn because we would always hang out, goof around and stuff. My brother said, yeah, I'll teach you, you know, charge not a lot, but, you know, and started in my dad's garage. And then, you know, after that, we moved into the park because, you know, it's the summertime and you want to work out in the sun and enjoy the weather. And then a kid named Craig Clifford and another guy had come by and they wanted to learn martial arts. Then after that, it steamrolled into Craig knew, you know, Rich DeVizio, who's Kano. And then it just started from there, snowballing that whole, like, friendship, you know. And I've known Rich since, you know, 13, 14, you know, working out in the park. And then after that, started working out, you know, doing wushu. You know, my brother and Ho Sung would go to China, wow, learn some forms, come back, teach it to us. And at that point, that was the early 80s, and we were on the precipice of you know, wushu, the contemporary style, because we would do traditional. And, you know, we saw all these guys jumping in the air, doing the high kicks and everything, because back then, even though communist China was, you know, trying to, one, stay in power, it being communist, but two, also trying to preserve its heritage, because they saw that, you know, just like the United States right now, our heritage is being lost and we're trying to gain it back, and it's not a bad thing. So I just want to also state that, because I don't want to get into politics. It's just, this is how I am, and I'm letting you know this is who I am, and this is what defines me. So, but, you know, they were able to go in the 80s to communist China and learn, you know, martial arts, like the peak people, you know, there, and then come back, and then we would learn off of them, and then eventually we had Coach Go show up, and this is like mid 1990s. That's my brother's teacher, my teacher, Anthony Marquez's teacher, you know, and then start learning from that. So predominantly, I've been in Chinese martial arts my whole life. I have never done like karate, other than learning from other people, like per se, like, oh, hey, how do you do this kata? How do you do this, you know, this, how do you do your punches? Oh, they're hard like this. And then kind of translate that into, hey, so Southern style is a little bit more harder. This is how, you know, karate is, and kind of translate it that way. And like my brother, whenever he learns something new, he loves disseminating that to people and just, you know, hey, check this out. Learn, you know, look at this, and we would learn it together, you know, or he would learn it actually. And I'm very thankful I have my brother Daniel Piscina as a, you know, as a brother, and also as like a mentor, because, you know, one thing for sure is he can look at something and he can pick it up like that, martial arts wise, Chinese martial arts, know the flavor, kind of how it's supposed to be. Yeah, he's fantastic. He's very, that's his gift. Everybody has a gift, and that's the one for him, and he just knows how to, like, you know, abuse the crap out of that, which is a good thing, you know, on a good side. But right now we're doing Miao Dao, you know, the Mian, and which is sword, the Chinese sword. But my passion is also, you know, I have two martial arts that I really love, like Bagua Zhang is an internal martial art. So you have Tai Chi, you have Xing Yi, and then the last one's Bagua. And Bagua for me is like, to me, for myself, it's the hardest martial arts. It's very, like, circular. And it's difficult for me, and that's why I love practicing it, because it challenges me. Challenge. And then, you know, Exactly, like challenge accepted, you know, thunder take you. But, you know, that kind of sort of helped me with my, you know, my art career, and also with, you know, Tobias told me there was an opening at Midway, and that kind of got me in. And, you know, right away, I don't start off with Mortal Kombat because, you know, that's just not, I don't think it would have been, you know, management saw it as that's not appropriate. You know, we have other people here who have to, sure, like, you know, and it's not a choice of, oh no, this guy's been here for 50 years, we have to take him. No, there were many talented people there. So I understood, okay, I'll wait until, you know, maybe somebody wants to move on or whatever, and then join the team. And then eventually, like about a year and a half, 2 years later, some people moved on. I was able to join John and do, you know, start off with Mythologies and then on the Special Forces. But, you know, in between that, John and Ed, anytime they needed something, like, or even Sal, like, hey, we have Sal DeVita, fantastic fucking talented guy, man. Jeez, just so many talented people. Oh, Josh Sway, Richard Ho. Oh my God, before I left, I had two talented guys. I just want to mention Freddie Palma and John Martinez. Man, they were like my right hand guys. They were kind of my proteges. And you know, before I left, they just, you know, soaked up every little thing I like, you know, tried to like interpret or, you know, or spew out, or, you know, those guys were like a sponge. But anyways, getting back to Sal, Ed, and John, you know, anytime they were working on like Mortal Kombat 3 or like, hey, want to make a guest appearance or want to do like this little blurb or want to do this little audio, you know, they were always grateful in, you know, asking me to be involved with that. And that was, you know, they didn't have to, but that is a blessing, you know, in itself. Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, and plus it wasn't like, you know, trying to find the right word. It wasn't more or less like it was an obligation. Like, you know what, Carlos is working here, we got to ask him. No, it was like, hey, you know, he's still doing martial arts, you know, let's ask his opinion, you know. Or, hey, what do you think about this move? You know, and like, it's like ideas, you know, it's like buttholes. Everybody's got one and sometimes they stink, you know what I mean? You got an idea and you're like, oh, I think, you know, you're smoking your own weed and you're like, I think this is the fucking best idea, you know? And people would look at you like, you know what? No, I don't think so. I don't think, you know, that's, you know, and you're like, you know what? After you think about it, you're like, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I don't know what I was thinking. So, you know, so predominantly just Chinese martial arts in my whole life. I love Baguazhang, but I appreciate there are tons of, you know, one guys out there that are very, like, really good at what they do. You know, like Eric Jacobus, you know, Taekwondo guy. Nate Hit Pass, you know, he's another karate guy that's a local from Sharky's. You know, Emmanuel Manzanera, another guy, just tons. You got people that I met through the, you know, just trying to get people to come in and perform. You got Lauren Mary Kim, great at adapting. Her and Amy Johnson, man, they could adapt to like any little style you want. Like, hey, can you do this? Because, you know, they have to work for movies and do stunts, so they have to. All these stunt guys I worked with, man, this is what I'm going to just boil it down to this. All these stunt guys I worked with are just like myself and my brother and like Rich and those guys. They're like a sponge and like to absorb everything you got from them. You know, if you got something for them, they'll go out and learn it and be like, oh, you know, they might not. I'm going to say this, but I don't want to offend anyone, and it's not an offense. They pick it up and they could mimic it to an extent, but I'm sure if they stuck with something like, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life, they will be like number one at it. Or if they're already number one at the thing that they do, they're just, you know, like Noah Fleather. He has this like Taekwondo, like, I was like, wow, this guy is friggin' talented. So, you know, and yeah. Anyways, these people are like, it's a blessing. It's a blessing working with everybody, you know, including other people like Marty Stoltz, director there, you know, obviously Ed Boon, you know, all the guys on my animation team when I used to be a lead, you know, you got Yes. Tony Zaffiro, Rick Chase, all those guys, you know, everybody is just super talented and ready to go and ready to, just please, you know, all of our friends and the people buying our games, our consumers. And I hate calling them that. That's why I say friends, because you guys are actually our friends, you know? So.
Yeah, means a lot. So we've all heard by now that Raiden's hat broke during the making of Mortal Kombat when you happened to accidentally land on top of it. However, were there any other moments, excluding this particular character, where during your time really had everyone sort of like in a panic? Maybe something wasn't working right, something else got destroyed, etc.?
Not so much, but it's you know, and I don't want to say in a panic, you know, when I ran the motion capture studio, I was very, you know, and I'm thankful that, you know, Midway and WB and NetherRealm left it up to me. I was very cautious to make sure nobody got hurt. That's, I just want to put that out. But there were moments where you're just sitting there going, holy cow, I can't believe I did that. I do have one moment. I'm not going to name names because it's not appropriate. But two, it's pretty friggin' hilarious.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and this is not representative of how, you know, the company works. It's just, you know, people just tend to, things just happen. You know, you can't control everything. You know, everything is fluid in life.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can to an extent, you know. Hollywood's great at controlling every little nuance to get everything perfect, and that disseminates down into the game industry and whatever else, you know, that stunt people and stunt coordinators, everybody touch. But I know, like, there was a time in, I think it was MK Armageddon, I'm supposed to do this this stunt for, you know, falling down the stairs, you know, and I got a bunch of people there, the director and everybody, and we have the stairs set up, and it must have been like we set this up so it's maybe about 15 stairs, and on top of the stairs I put a bunch of padding on it, like probably a foot, maybe a foot, maybe a little less, maybe more, but no bigger than a foot all the way down the stairs, and then maybe about four more pads, so about 10 more feet, because you got to roll, you know, down to the floor. So I wasn't comfortable with anybody doing that stunt, and you know, we're recording all day, and man, I hit that pad and, you know, and rolled down. Nobody got hurt. I wasn't hurt at all, but we had a guy there, good. And none of the people I had mentioned were the ones operating the system, but rolled all the way down the stairs and then rolled those 10 feet. And the director was like, holy cow, is this guy still alive? You know, and I must've been about 30 in my 30s, and I'm rolling down, you know, and all flopping, you know, cause the stunt guys are fantastic at, like, you know, how the hell did you guys not get hurt doing that? You know? And I say that to some of the guys I worked with, you know, some of the talented people, but I did all of that, and we're sitting there, and, you know, the director looks at the operator who's supposed to press record and say, oh my God, say that you got that. That's fantastic. And the guy just, you know, is not listening to the director. And then he, you know, pulls off his headphones. He's like, what's going on? And we're like, we did the 3-2-1 action. You're supposed to be listening. Didn't get the take.
Oh no.
So, you know, I'm like, oh my God. Oh well.
Oh no.
Just gotta go up there and do it again, you know. You know, not as good, because the first time is always like a little bit authentic, but then you know, obviously you start tweaking stuff, and yeah. It was pretty, yeah, I was pretty upset. I'm like, that dude's never working on MK ever again. But, you know, just got to bite your tongue and go, well, you know what? I make mistakes too, and I got to, you know, swallow my pride, you know. So I forgave that person. So.
So it's no secret that since the very first game, very first time I played Mortal Kombat in 1992, Raiden became my all-time favorite. So what was it like portraying Raiden in the first two titles? And can you perhaps share some of your fondest memories from those early days with us?
Okay. You know, when John drew up the characters and, you know, came up with the characters and you know, there's been a huge history, whether you get it from John or any other of the character people, actors, of how, you know, hey, this is how I got to be, you know, so-and-so. You know, I can only explain, like, hey, when John approached me, you know, we had a love for, you know, Big Trouble in Little China, all these martial arts movies back in the day, you know, in the mid, you know, early 80s, you know, even up to, I remember, and I'm just giving you a little history. I know it's gonna, you know, this is bits of information that are in my head and in my life that define me to get to this character. So early on, back in the 70s, my dad would take us to Kung Fu movies, you know, see Bruce Lee, you know, and we would, you know, go downtown Chicago, not the safest at the time, but you know what? No, nobody bothered us and it was safe for us. Mm. We'd go see a Bruce Lee movie, you know, and then it went from Bruce Lee to, you know, Jimmy Wang Yu and all the other guys, you know, the Golden Harvest and the Run Shaw, everybody in that whole scene, and just watching tons of Kung Fu movies. You see the guys with the hats, you see them doing all their, like, you know, their forms, or as we call them, like at NR, or we used to call it at NRS, you know, the katas and stuff. And so yeah, when John approached me, he's like, hey, I want you to be this guy. And he had a drawing of, you know, Raiden as how he was depicted in the first Mortal Kombat, you know, kind of had the bandages. And we were all into the, like, hey, you know, and I'm not saying this is where he drew it from, but we all saw, like, hey, the Warriors. Remember when the Warriors, you know, in the beginning when they're introducing all the gangs and the one gang had the bandages on the legs and, you know, the puffy pants, you know, we were all into fashion and stuff, you know, Big Trouble in Little China kind of influenced that a little bit. So, you know, for me, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do what Cloud and Lightning do and kind of bring that, you know. And he asked me, like, what can you bring for that? And then we also have other ideas that whether they said, hey, do it this way, or I interpreted it, you know, I thought back to all of that stuff, all those movies, all the ideas of, you know, things that we love, you know, watching like Seven Grandmasters, every, you know, there were just tons of movies, you know, Master of the Flying Guillotine, and just, you know, and obviously Big Trouble in Little China, pulling from that and going, hey, you know, you guys going to shoot the lightning stuff? And John's like, yeah, yeah, we're going to, you know, this is our idea for the lightning and this and that. And I'm like, okay, all you got to do is come up with the, you know, the move to do the lightning blast and stuff like that, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. And then, you know, told me the background of, like, he's a thunder god, you know, he's doesn't want to interfere, but, you know, just John was great at, and at the time knew, once again, I had mentioned this guy, Arthur Gonzalez, you know, and a bunch of other, like, our circle, we were so tight knit, whether it was art or, you know, writing. And that means whether it's fiction, nonfiction, and just drawing from all of that, you know, and John would do that, just like mm-hmm. how we draw from martial arts and everything. And everybody does this. You know, we all have friends who are all into everything that we do. And then we have friends who are in that circle that are like, you know what? And I'm going to say this, Andrew Kudelka, D&D, love playing D&D. We would all play D&D together. So you have friends who do that, do martial arts, do art, do illustration, do writing. You know, I have friends who write that don't do any of the other stuff. But, you know, it's such a tight-knit group because you hang out together. You grew up together. You have this history that defines you. And I think that's what happened. You know, John had something, a history that defined him, you know, from his background, and that poured into me. And I took what I knew and we just, you know, put something together that made, you know, this beautiful orchestra and this beautiful, like, sonata, you know, this song that everybody, like, clicked with, like you just said. You're like, that was my character. I clicked with that. You know, everybody has a character, whether it's Kano, Raiden, you know, people click with it and they just, you know, wanna, yeah. Whether it's we're displacing ourselves and wanna be that avatar, or we just wanna get away from the world for 5 minutes and play the game and, you know, be in a different realm. Cause, you know, the world can get, it's variety's the spice of life. you know, the world can get very heavy on you sometimes, and, you know, and we just want that outlet, you know, just for whether it's, and, you know, 5 minutes or, you know, I know people play it for like 10 hours and that's what they love. And that's good because, you know, it is. It's, we enjoy doing this, you know, because there's, and sorry, I'm rambling. It's a philosophical thing. It's, you know, everybody grabs or gravitates onto something and they want to focus on that. You know what I mean? We all have these hobbies, whether it's Mortal Kombat or you're like, you know what? I love working on cars or I love, you know, doing other stuff. Sure. We all have these hobbies. And sometimes when we focus on that, man, we're like, you know, we do the crash course in learning everything because you know how the world is. It's like, oh, shoot, I got to fix the sink. I, you know, either call a plumber and pay this or save some money and go on the YouTube and do the crash course.
You go ham.
You know, to yeah, exactly. You know, and not saying don't, you know, to do that. There's the disclaimer. Not saying to do that if you need to call a professional.
Yeah.
You know, and just like Mortal Kombat games, there's professionals who do that. They gravitate to that, and they're really good at that. You know, some of these guys are like, yeah, I want to, you know, play a round or two. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And then after a while, you're like, wow, I tested the game. And, you know, these guys know that the hitbox, the timing, when those frames are, like, exiting out of the block. And they're like, oh, I'll hit you right at that 1/10 of a second, you know, to get you, you know, to just destroy you. So. Yeah.
So considering all the motion.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
So considering all the motion capture you've done for these characters throughout the years, I believe you also, at least occasionally, did mocap for some of the female characters as well. Is that correct?
Yes, up to a certain point. Up until, I would say, like, MK9. But that was, and I want to preface this, that was not... That was more of for us, you know, as NetherRealm Studio, because, you know, we view ourselves, or we used to view, and I'm not talking for everybody there. So once again, this is my opinion. This is not a reflection of Warner Brothers or NetherRealm Studios. But we, you know, we came from Midway Games as a, you know, a team of like you know, max 8 people. You know, and everybody's got to wear the same hat or, you know, and exchange it or wear different hats and try to get things done. So when, you know, when Warner Brothers decided to, you know, do MK10, MK9, MK10, there's this, you know, and some of, you know, MK versus, you know, DC, you know, at that time, I had to do most of the female characters. But, you know, after a while, it was like, you know, let's start hiring other people, meaning females. Because we would notice that, and once again, this is a lead animator as myself decision. You know, I see an animator struggling to try to make my hips look like, you know, like the mechanics, biomechanics of a woman. You know, it can be faked, but then he has to, you know, the person who fixes it in post has to fix that. It's like taking a male voice, giving it to an audio guy, and then he's got to work, whether it might take 5 minutes or it might take 2 hours to adjust it.
Yeah.
Same thing. I would see that, and I would see that struggle, because sometimes I would work on those animations, you know, wearing many hats, and I'm like, oh my God, why did I do this? Like that, like a... You know, and as a man, we see women in a different way. Women actually, you know, and it's funny story. I have to mention this. Michelle Lee, we had come in way back. This is a while back. And, you know, I would say, hey, dude, you know, kind of walk like this, you know, and try to mimic, like, you know, and visually see what a woman does. You know, and she looked at me and she started laughing. And she's like, Carlos, you know, you're looking at it from like a male perspective, like, and you're not asking the female what she would do, because sometimes naturally they would do something different, and you're forcing that. And I'm like, you know what, you're absolutely correct, because visually, as a, you know, as a male, we tend to only visualize and see what we see. Or this could be for anything. Sometimes when we like something, I'll say it this way, because I don't want to offend anybody. Sometimes when we see something and we like something, we only see the things that we like to an extent. It might do other things, but we kind of tend to like, eh, I don't, I, you know, I don't, I see it, but that's not the thing that I like, right? So for Michelle Lee's point was, yeah, exactly. Michelle Lee's point is like, well, you know, I kind of wouldn't do it like that, you know, and every, you know, every female we've had in would say this, you know, not the same thing, but they would act similarly. And in my judgment, I would be like, oh, I thought a woman would do it this way, you know, when they flick their hair. Like, if you do that, it's like, yeah, but there are other nuances that they do, you know what I mean, that they get. And they're like, nah, I wouldn't flick my hair like that. If I don't like you, then I won't flick it that way. Or if I like you, then they do additional things. Or not, you know, this. And I could only, and I could only comment on the experience I had. So this is not a reflection of whatever everybody else sees. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. So,
yeah,
you know, that's one of those things where I, you know, and, God bless his heart. We had this one animator do, you know, Melina. I did the Melina fatality with the whole, you know, with the caressing of the face and everything and tried the, you know, but he worked on that so long to get it to, you know, obviously one, you have to be a good actor to do it. And two, you have to be a good animator to like, go, that's wrong. I'm going to adjust this a little bit, you know, and he'd come back to me and say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, and I'm like, wow, you really like amped that up. You did a fantastic job. And that's what I loved about our animators. I could just hands off, you know, some of these guys, you know, like Rick O'Meara, I could go in and he'd like, hey, I need your, you know, approval for this. And I'm like, Rick, we've been working for like, you know, 5-6 years already. You know, I, you know, we worked on Shaolin Monks, you know, you were doing the opening stuff with us. And I'm like, I liked what you did back then. So I'd go over there, you know, out of respect, because he's, you know, he's a senior guy, very talented right now. You know, he's at Weta right now, very talented individual. Mm. But he's like, hey, come look at this. And, you know, there's a point where you're like, holy cow, this guy is, you know, and this is what you want. Because I was taught by my family taught me this. Martial arts have taught me this. And I try to teach, you know, anybody I teach, whether it's animation, you know, directing, choreography, anything, you're gonna be better than me someday. I want you to be better than me, because you might do something way cooler, and that's what we want to go with, that's the idea. Or you might go on somewhere else and do, you know, you'll grow better as a person. It's the same thing with Rick O'Meara and this other guy, like, just literally like, hey, what do you think about it? Wow, that's fantastic. And, you know, sometimes these guys would, I put in effects, I put in camera work just to get that feel, you know, maybe give the visualization for the, you know, the director or other people, you know, it's, you know, sometimes they would just burn the midnight oil to get that done. But yeah, looking at, I did a lot of females, did like maybe, you know, some justice to them. And then, you know, the animator would do additional. And you know, and then you had the sound guys, you know, it's a culmination of a collaboration. But, you know, sometimes it was great doing it, because you were thinking like, oh, this is how, you know, girls get out of cars, you know, their legs come out first, you know. In reality, you're like, you know, and I don't want to sexualize it. It's something that I appreciate as a actual, like, a worldly thing. It's not a sexual thing. It's like, wow, that is, you know, and it's also for my perception of, like, when I have to direct somebody, you know, this is, like, hey, can you amp that up a little bit? Or, you know what I mean? It's not a sexual thing at all. It's more of a loving how the body moves, and also understanding that when you have to translate that in the studio, if I'm in the studio and we're in a pinch and somebody has to play a female that's not a female, we'll get a temp asset. But when we do that, we just don't want... We don't want just like, hey, get out of the car, close the door, and that's good enough. We want to actually give the director, you know, and everybody else a visual cue of, okay, that looks female. Tomorrow we can schedule somebody, get that next week. That idea works great. You know, it's a proof of concept. So for a while, yeah, I was doing the females. We did have some female martial artists come in. You know, sometimes it was easier for me to do the, you know, navigation and stuff, because, you know, I've been doing it all my life. You know, it's like anything, you know, writing your name every day. It's the same thing. Repetitive, understanding how to do it, and being good at what you do, you know, and doing 100% is, you know, at everything. There's some things we do that are like, you know, 50%, it's because, you know, our heart's not in it, or we might not want to do it. And other things you're like, I just want to focus on that, you know? So yeah, I loved every minute of it. Yeah. Thank you.
So moving on to you guys,
that's what I want to real quick. I want to ask, did it fool you guys?
Pretty convincing. I was going to ask about the Melina movements because they were pretty out there. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was a thing where, you know, when you're in the studio, and I can't remember who had the idea, but I know Ed was in there, you know, and you got the other animators, and they also, you know, this is what I love. You have to trickle down your talent and everything you do, so that way you have a group of people. I mean, they're already talented, but you want additional, like, things that people don't know. Mentor is the word I should use. So you want to mentor and trickle down your knowledge to certain people so they can point out and it help you, because, you know, when it's easy when you're a director and you're able to direct somebody, but when you're in the situation where you got many people directing you, you're your own director, and you're also trying to actually motion capture this stuff, or motion capture the action. Stuff is... God, what a terrible word.
Yeah.
Motion capture the action. What you want to do is have people around you and go, notice, like, hey, that's not the way this, you know, that's not the way we would want her to move. Can you, you know, we'll load up YouTube, or actually, like, hey, can you do it like this? We saw this video of a girl, like, slapping somebody and then caressing this. Can you try to mimic that and then amp that up? And it's a collaboration. And sometimes... Oh, yeah. You know, Ed would push you to be like, oh, you know what, do it like this. What kind of ideas do we have to, you know, and this is a group, once again, collaboration, you know. He doesn't want to be the only one just dictating everything. I mean, he'll have an idea and then want it flourished. Sometimes we would do the action. And then, you know, the guy I'm acting with would be like, hey, 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 you know what? My girlfriend did that to me the other day, and she did it kind of like this. You know, can you, and, you know, just, you know, sometimes I'd have.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was great is that sometimes I'd have, and this is back in the day, with Rick O'Mara, very good. Also keen to doing everything that I've done. Same thing, like, you know, because once again, we work together. It's Midway. We all work like that at Midway. Sal DeVita was like that. Everybody who was, you know, Jim Gentile, everybody who was there, similar. And then you just feed off of that, and then just like, oh yeah, oh, okay, you know, and do it over and over and over and over. And when I mean over and over, that maybe took maybe an hour, I would say, you know, because it's a female. And then the animator would, you know, spend, you know, and we're talking, it's a back and forth thing, and I'm not ruining the process, but it's more or less like he would work on it and just continually work on it, and, you know, and work on other pieces while it would come back and say, hey, you know what, Carlos did this a little bit different. Can we change, soften that up? And, you know, it's I'm glad it fooled everybody, because once we told everyone, like, a, you know, I don't know if it was months or years later, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, you know, they were kind of like, hey, you know, it's kind of, you know, but... You know, yeah, it's got to be done sometimes, you know, and we were thinking we were still a smaller company, you know, and had to break out of that. That's only because we built our own wall around us, and we didn't want to knock it down. And, you know, it was, you know, I'm sometimes stubborn too, like, no, 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 I can do it. We'll go in there, do it in 5 minutes or an hour or whatever, you know, instead of waiting 2 weeks to hire somebody and get some in. But then sometimes that's the best thing, where you're like, no, 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 no. This is the idea. Let's block it out. And then for sure, we're going to get female talent to come in to replace, you know, that type of motion. And, you know, that's the best way to do things, you know, whether you have a female from the start or block it out. So.
Absolutely. So moving on to Raiden's flying torpedo move and the cry that he does when he does that. Over the years, there were various interpretations, such as "Get back in the car," and "Your mother's from LA." However, Danny recently revealed that the whole idea came about after you actually crushed your nuts while attempting to pose one day. Is this in fact true? And did this unfortunate event have any correlation with the existence of Johnny's Nut Punch?
Classic. That's funny. Yeah, that's classic and funny. I couldn't, you know, I think the origins stem from a culmination of a bunch of different ideas, you know, and I know that's something you'll have to ask, because Dan Forden was the audio guy on that, so you'll have to ask him what he really says. I'm sure that was passed around of like, hey, you know, I doing the split, sometimes you like, you're overzealous and you do it and you're like, holy shit. You know, it could have been one of those, you know, times when Dan Forden like was there, or somebody had said, hey, Carlos crushed his nuts, he said this, and that could also be one of, because there's many. I'm gonna tell you this, I know all of them, I know them all, and you guys are maybe like, you know, maybe like 10 or 15% of all the sayings that are in that in that call, in those calls.
Oh wow!
You know, the sound calls. Yeah, you know, there's a ton. You know, and I don't divulge any of that, because it's, you know, that's just, you know, a personal thing that I have to respect, more or less. But absolutely. You know, they're all funny. They all crank me up. Yeah, and when you guys figure some of them out, you know, that are to an extent more or less, you know, sort of like we put in because you guys heard it or whatever, you know, it's funny, because, you know, you want your supporters and your fans and your friends to like kind of get in on the, you know, the joke a little bit, because, you know, we like doing that. So, well, at least I like doing it. Once again, representative myself, this is my own, you know, just me saying it. It's not a representative of any studio or anybody, but, you know, that's the way I look at it, you know, like, you know, I'm going to harken back to another thing. Similar to this, there are certain things that we do where people just catch it and they're like, oh my God, I saw that moment in, you know, in whatever said thing that we like, whether it's a movie, a commercial, an idea, and, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, this is our nod, more or less, to things that we admire and like, and you know, that's, it's maybe it could be part of that, and it could be the, you know, Dan's original idea, Dan and Ed and John and those guys, probably, you know, they're the first sound call they did, I'm sure they know what it means and says. I'm not going to say it here, and, you know, it's pretty hilarious. So there's that.
So being a lead animator for 6 years and all this history of motion capture, what would you say was maybe the, say, toughest fatality that you worked for, and the one that you ended up being most satisfied with?
Wow, that's difficult to say, because they're all, you know, they're all great, whether you come up with your own fatality and, you know, people accept it, meaning like the art director Ed, or, you know, I actually had Ed say, wow, this is genius, you know, the Baracho one with the, you know, where he lights the torch and then he farts, you know, I came up with part of that idea. Well, I came up with that idea to an extent, because, you know, it's a collaboration of like, hey, do this and do that. I don't want to say it's all my idea, but the principle, you know, idea, the first idea was that, and Ed's like, oh wow, that's genius, you know, because everybody had ideas, and, you know, we would throw them around, and, you know, like I said, it's like, you know, like sometimes you smoke your own dope and you're like, this is the best one, and you're like, oh shit, that other one won, that was better, you know. But there are, you know, it's difficult, because they're all, you know, and I hate saying this, because it's, you know, people are going to be like, oh, he just said that because, you know, they're all great and they're all his favorite, you know, but they essentially are, because, you know, you're trying to, sorry about that. I'm on this Windows phone that keeps popping up these little things, and I know I'm swiping my hand across here. I apologize.
It's okay.
But, it's one of those things. It is difficult, because, you know, it's not only, you know, the ones that whether I'm helping directed, had a concept of, or was involved somehow with the concept, or had actually, you know, was part of the motion capture actors, you know, or did the stunt, you know, there's hundreds that I just, you know, you just love, because, you know, one, you know, there's a couple where, okay, I'll just have to explain, and then maybe everybody will get the concept, you know, when I say I love all of them. So Nightwolf, and I can't remember which one, if it's, you know, MK10, MK9, I think it's MK9. And you got to understand, I've worked on almost every single one of these, you know, I've worked on every single Mortal Kombat game, every single one, touched it. And it's just hard to remember, like, was that MK5 or 6, or was it Armageddon, you know? And, you know, plus I'm 54 and Alzheimer's is setting in, and you're like, wow, I did write down a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of little details that I'm like, I remember, but I can't, you know, you don't want to go back and write it, because you're like, I might have made that up while I was, you know, throughout my entire career. Okay, Nightwolf yep. Fatality. Working on a Nightwolf Fatality with Rick O'Mara. We're both in the studio. Ed's like, here's the idea. This is the concept. You know, neither Rick or I came up with it. We're acting it out. Okay, cool. Work it all out. Ready to, you know, there's rehearsal. We rehearsed it for maybe like 10 minutes. And then, you know, you look at an idea and like, oh, you know, this is where we need to branch off and, you know, either make this more brutal or tone this back or act this way, or, you know what I mean? There are notes after you do that. So when we got it to the point where everybody was satisfied, you know, and Rick is just like, hey, do me a favor, just like go all out. And you know, we understood, we worked out together. We did martial arts together. We worked in the studio together. We animated together. You know, we're like brothers. So we understand each other's limits, how far we can go, how far we can, you know, push the other one. Not so much to get, you know, even enough to where you don't get injured here. Yeah. So, you know, the countdown goes on, and this is the one where he double stabs the guy in the shoulders with two knives. And at that point, and it was real soft for me, but I did it to an extent where it's soft, but I know how to sell it so that way I don't hurt or injure the performer that I'm performing with. You know, plus it's martial arts. You don't want to do that. You know, when you're doing martial arts, you're like, hey, practice. Your Sifu tells you, hold the pad for this guy. But remember, you're going to hold a pad for him, you know, and you don't go all out and try to kill somebody. Obviously, there is a time for that. And this wasn't one of them. So I went all out, you know, I know how to use my body and throw it back and then hit Rick. And it was so soft. But when Rick reacted, he knew how to sell that hit and just look like, oh, shit, I'm going to collapse. And out of Ed's mouth, I could hear, oh, shit. You know, because, you know, we're selling it and he thinks we're going all out because, you know, we had mentioned go all out, you know, while we're in the volume, you know, and after we were done, everybody's like, oh, that's the take, you know, and then we have other takes that are like, hey, use piece, you know, piece number, you know, this is piece number one with the shoulder, this is piece number two, or use all of that. And then, you know, intersect and cut, you know, different things here. But I could hear that from Ed, and I'm like, you know, you got to continue on. And the director's saying, oh, shit. And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, what did I do wrong? You know, or I didn't do that right. Or, oh, shit, I hope I didn't, you know I didn't hurt Rick, but maybe I did. And I thought I hit him softly, you know. And afterwards, Rick is like, no, man, this is good. You know, he's, you know, like all the stunt guys, you can hurt him, but you can't, you know, those guys are like fucking iron, you know. You know, and sometimes they're very respectable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Nate hit pass, you know, I'm on my knees and we're doing a scene. And this is one of our other games that we work on. And it's not MK related. Once again, this is my whole experience. You know, I'm on my knees. We're doing this fight set and Nate hit pass has to do a sidekick to the chest. and I'm on my knees, and I gotta, you know, my legs gotta come out like that, you know. And we don't have a pulley, and it's like basic, you know. This is a basic, you know. We're not a full stunt studio there, you know. So we gotta do things, you know, the way we can, you know. And there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of things you do where you're like, I know my limits. You know, Nate's like, he knows his limits. And I said, Nate, just put some, you know, just kick me. And he's like, oh, so put some pepper on it, coach? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So he hits me, and I'm like, you know, that's not enough, because I need your force to lift me off, you know. Because when they do that gag, they actually have a machine, or they have a pulley system that'll pull the guy a little bit up when you kick out, you know, and they have a rig. And, you know, the riggers are, and I'm not a rigger. Those guys are fantastic. Those guys who do that as well. You know, the stunt community is just full of so many talented people. And I'll teach you, you know, a lot of them will teach you. Yeah. You know, oh my God. Yeah. And just learning, you know, because I started doing some stunts and stuff. But then as you start getting these people and they, you know, kind of say, hey, we do it like this, or this is what you need, or you should really have this, and this is what, you know, understanding how they piece stuff together, and me trying to, as an animator, understand, like, I don't have all those rigs, this is how we're going to do it, and explain to the rest of the team, you know, I'm on here and I got to do this, you know, or I'm on my knees, I got to get kicked by Nate. You know, he does enough, you know, and he kicked me really hard, and not so hard where it knocked the wind out of me. I trust him. You know, you got to trust these guys.
Yeah.
The guys that I bought in, I trust them 100%. You know, there's some people that will tell you, like, hey, you know, these guys are, you know, don't know, you know, I have to know their limits when they come in. So that way I don't say, hey, you do, you know, a backflip and he can't, and then he breaks his neck. You don't want that. You want to know everybody's limits. You know, we're all in the stunt community. Sometimes we're all like a tool, you know, this guy's the drill, this guy is the jackhammer, you know, and this guy is really good. But, you know, all around they could do everything. But then there's certain people who are like, that's the guy you want. Have him come in, because there's only two guys in the world that can do that. But anyways, Nate hits me, you know, and then that's in post. That's where animation takes over more or less, you know. And there's, you know, same thing, Jacobus. A while back, like, we're talking the last game, same thing, you know, dude, give me a sidekick. And he's like, are you sure? You know, and I'm like, no, just do it, bro. You know, I trust you, and we've been working together for so long, you know. And, you know, when you get a team together and they all work together, they're, you know, you just know your limits, know your strengths. And as a, you know, sometimes a director, choreographer, and I'm not saying I'm a, you know what I mean? I just call myself that because that's just, you know, that's just a, and it's not a title, it's just a thing that I kind of understand myself with, you know, place people here and do this, you know, fight this way. And sure. Yeah, there are a bunch of times that, you know, where you're like, oh shit, this is friggin' scary. But doing those little pieces, whether you're on the outside and, you know, you see like Lauren Mary Kim, like, do, you know, some type of flourish, and you're like, wow, that's, you know, that's really good, you know. There's I just love all of them, you know. There's just a certain part that is in every single one of them, you know, because I, you know, as an animation, you know, that motion capture animation, that's the stop right there, meaning more or less you start and stop there, and working in every single piece. You know, I just love doing all that. There's so many nuances, you know. Here's another one. I know I'm rambling, but, you know, we did the Kano, there was a Kano knife throw, you know, and that one was a struggle for me because, you know, just trying to juggle a lot. And sometimes you got to know when to step back and go, you know what, I just can't do everything. But that's not the point, because I'm reflecting. You know, it's an internal thing, and I'm yeah. I'm letting you guys know what's internally happening in my head, you know. We did this Kano fatality. I don't know who came up with it. It's the one where he flips a knife in his hand and he twirls it, you know, and it spins in his finger, and then he throws it at the person, and it lands right here, and then he falls in, and then it goes even deeper.
Yeah.
So I believe I did both parts for that, and that had to be shot because it was a single player that day, and it was just me doing some filler stuff and other stuff, you know. Yeah, and I had to do both parts for that. And getting that together was two, I animated that. So it's one of those things like, wow, this is, you know, and it's just, you know, it hits me all the time where it's like, holy cow, being in the suit, setting up the studio to animate everything, you know, and then you also have help there, you know what I mean? And then actually getting in the suit and, you know, markering yourself up. And, you know, then I had help, you know, doing the calibration and all that. And eventually, you know, I finally got, you know, there are guys that were, that's their main role, which is great. Freddie Palma, fantastic, like super talented guy. That guy is, like, I thought I was technical. I thought I was technical. And that guy is like, holy cow, like, dude, you just, you know, that's what you want when you work with people. You want to surround yourself. And, you know, obviously there's some people that are like, you know, you think aren't talented, but they are talented. And I know this is not Freddie's. I'm just talking in general. This is a general term. But sure. Getting back to Freddie, wow, super talented. It's like a friggin', you know, you're a pack of dogs all on a leash, and there's a car, and you think you're the fastest dog, and then you let go of that leash, and you're like, holy shit, I'm not the fastest that guy is, you know? And you're like, that's what you want. You want to progress to a point and then let people go and flourish and let them go. You know, that's how you build a great team. And, you know, that guy's very, very talented. But what I was getting at was, you know, I'm just reflecting. So I had to do the knife twirl. I can't do it, so I animated that. And there was a point where John Martinez is like, you did that knife twirl by hand, like the spinning around and a little like gimbal on the... And I'm like, yeah, I just worked on that for like 20 to 30 minutes just on that alone. And he's like, you got that looking good. Because there's a point where Kano actually like hits that tip, and you got to understand physics with a knife. And if you don't understand visually how to, you know, these animators are great. If they don't understand visually how to, like, you know, how physics are for every little thing, you got to stop. But they're so good at what they do. Sometimes they're, you know, it's just like myself. You focus on something and you're like, this is what I want to learn. How in the hell, when you snap that knife, okay, that's how that works with the weight and everything. But it was difficult doing some of those things together where it's like, okay, I did Kano, did the throw. Now, holy cow, I got to match up. I got to match up on the other side, you know, the reaction, you know, the victim. And that has to be one-to-one sometimes. And, you know, I could get close because I know my you know, because one, I know the equipment. Two, I know the timing. Three, I'm counting in my head. You know, unless you're telling a stunt guy, count in your head. Start at one as soon as we say action. And then, you know, we want you to replicate that same amount of time while we're fucking just bombarding you with direction and hitting cue marks and you actually being in the moment trying to act. It's all a culmination of difficulty, of just trying to absorb everything and trying to do it within amount of time of, hey, we only have... You know, I could look at something and go, this is going to take 45 minutes. It's going to take 10 minutes. It's going to take 5 minutes. Knowing the actor, whether it's myself involved, whether it's somebody else, whether it's the first time I've ever worked with them, because, you know, I kind of tend to try to do my best to study more or less everybody's movements, everybody's, you know, more or less history and, you know, and everything. And then culminate it down to like, okay, this is going to take X amount of time. But for myself, I was like, okay, I got to do all of this stuff, hit everybody's notes. Got to make sure I get that knife because that's what I want. I know I'm going to be working on that animation. And then now I'm the victim. I got to remember, when did Kano, how many steps did he take walking over that way? When he turned around, did I hesitate? You know, and this is what I'm saying. This is the things that, you know, there's big things that are like, this is why I love all of them. And there's little things where like, holy cow, that's fantastic. You know, and it's just, it's the experience of, you know, being a, you know, once again, being the victim going, okay, I die here. This is, oh, I gotta, you know, there were times where you gotta prop yourself up when you go down and you hit the mat. And then, you know, sometimes we have to like, oh, you got to do your abs of steel and hold it up because there's actually a knife propping you up, but you're not all the way, you know, and you got to imagine this where you're like, hit it, right, go, right. And then you're like, okay, now I got to slide down a little bit, you know, and then, you know, whether Ed wants to, you know, or anybody else, and you know, who's doing the concept wants slow slide and then stuck and then fast ramp down, or you want dung and then sh- and then fa- you know what I mean? There's little nuances, and you got to get all of that, and just trying to, you know, that's why I love all doing a bunch of stuff like that. So there's a lot to it, and a lot of me. It just, once again, I can only reflect my experience. There's a lot of, okay, how are we going to do this? You know, we just got, you know, the speed paintings done. We want to block it out, or we actually want to see if we can capture it. And it's one of those things where like, okay, how am I going to break this apart as myself, as a person from my own experience, trying to, you know, what it's working with anything. How am I going to attack this? How am I going to, and I think that was a benefit of being able to be a martial artist, an animator, and understanding, you know, the relationship with everybody, understanding exactly what the studio needed. And this is one of those things, and I want to point this out to everyone. No matter who you work for, understand who they are, understand what is needed from them. Make sure you're a good fit for that. And, you know, and there's times to, obviously, you know, there's times to be the big guy, the big dog in the room. And there's times to be the little ant worker. You have to be humble and you have to appreciate the talented other people that you work with. And you have to sometimes step back.
Certainly.
And amen. Let them flourish as well as yourself. Sometimes you want things a certain way. I get it. Yeah, we all do. We all, you know, put the pencil this way. Oh, okay. You know, okay, that's, you know, but now do it naturally. You know, there's sometimes you're like, you just want to micromanage the shit out of things. And in my experience, I found sometimes you got to know when to do that, know when to step back and be like, okay, I'm, you know, and I hate saying this where you're like, oh, I'm the soldier, you know, but sometimes, you know, you got to be the soldier or you got to be the hero, you know, sometimes you got to be the villain and walk away and come back the next day, you know?
For sure.
So,
yeah.
All of them. And I know I'm, this is one of the few interviews. I got another one coming up Wednesday, you know, of where I could just actually just, you know, hey, I can, you know, just give my experience, and it's more or less an emotional defining thing that I just want to let, you know, all these fans and friends and, you know, people who watch, who are just maybe interested, you know, in what I do, yeah. Whether from the animation side, martial arts side, or, you know, choreography side, or even friends, you know, sometimes we all talk and we tend to give friends, you know, what we think is, you know, our answer. But then sometimes when we're here discussing it with, you know, friends like you, we were able to come out a little more and say, oh, yeah, you know what? Now I remember this, because when I was talking with my friend, we were, you know, we steamrolled into other stuff, you know. So, you know, I love all of them. You know, there's just, you know, the Baracha one. There's the one where Raiden shoves his staff down, you know, somebody's throat, and, you know, and once again, it's great because it's obviously it's Raiden. Two, I got to do the staff off of a springboard and be able to, you know, it's one of those things where you flex and you're like, yeah, I know I could do the, you know, in Wushu they have a staff move where they bring the staff back down, you know, towards the back. You know, because they're going to wail on somebody and they're going to jump in the air. And that's kind of a famous move. And that's where I drew that more or less. Like, somebody had that concept. And I said, you know what? Let me add that flair to it for the animation. You know, it's possible the person who came up with the concept wanted that. And, you know, and then it goes to the artist or the board artist. And sometimes they don't know how to articulate that. Or sometimes they do. But I just remember, like, hey, I want to do it this way. This is the way I want to, you know, and everybody's like, yeah, you know, because that's a classic pose, classic martial arts pose, you know, and I tried my best to do that justice. There's other people like Taylor Choi Marquez with that staff, man, he's like a friggin' wind demon, dude. You know, and that's Anthony Marquez's son. So he distilled everything into Taylor, and you know, Taylor is just athleticism. Oh, that's another thing. I had my son in do some work. Very good, you know, and okay. It's got to be a hereditary thing, because you know, because he likes looking at movements, likes doing martial arts, likes you know, breaking things Kid down Thunder. Like myself. Yeah, Kid Thunder is Calvin Piscina is just and so is my daughter Autumn Piscina. She's fantastic too. It's just art wise, she's like incredible. But you know, this is one of those things. That's why I said, you know, they're all whether it's the concept, whether it was the camaraderie, whether it was the development while we're executing that concept in the studio. You know what I mean? You guys only see the fatality, but there are moments in the studio where, wouldn't this be great? Got to draw it back. Or, you know, there's an experience of like, yeah, kind of like, and you reference something and everybody just clicks. You know, there are moments in the studio that it's, I wish there was a way where we could just, you know, and this is for game development. This is any game developer out there. This is a great idea for you guys. Have a camera on when you're motion capturing every friggin'. I know there is. I know they're like Naughty Dog and those guys do it, you know, to an extent. They don't do every single thing. You know what I mean? I don't know Naughty Dog, meaning I'm making an assumption. I want to clarify that. There are so many moments inside that motion capture studio that are not only just trying to execute the idea, but trying to work together and trying to relate to everybody in there. And just, you know, it's just like it's a experience that's difficult to explain and translate verbally. Because there are just moments in there that, and I know I'm going away from the fatality stuff. But it deals with that. But that's why I said that, you know, I love all of them. There are moments where, you know, we're just cracking jokes, or we're relating to something, or we're finally catching that, like, that spark of that idea and going, oh, okay, I got this. I, you know, like, how are we going to do this spear? Oh, my God. Okay, I got it. You know, and sometimes it's go with it. Great idea. Or like, you know what? You're a little sick in the head. You know, and cracking jokes like that, like, you know what, you went great with it, and you know, everybody's laughing, and you know, the next like 2 minutes are just, you know, having that energy of everybody just all together. You know, there was never a moment in that motion capture studio or while we were filming MK1 or 2 or any of the other ones, you know, whether we were the actors at martial arts, just doing martial arts, or whether, you know, I'm actually in the development team. There was just moments where it's just like, you know, get together and it's just so much fun. And I wish that was like everything in life, you know. And I guess that's why it's so precious getting those key moments, you know what I mean? Because then we could reflect and go, you know what? That time I did that talk with the Kami Dogu guys, yeah, that was the shit right there, you know what I mean? Or you know, that... That's the only way I could explain it. Or you look back and, you know, you're 100 years old and you're like, remember when we interviewed whoever? And just insert whoever you like interviewing here, you know, for you guys. And this is it. We're like, we had a friggin' blast. I know we only got like, and I don't know how long this podcast is going to be. We only had 45 minutes because obviously, you know, we can't have a 10-hour long conversation with somebody. But I'm sure there were times where like you guys were like, we got to condense this time down because, you know, we just have, you know, restrictions, meaning like, and it's not a personal thing, and it's not a, like somebody telling you only do an hour. It's like, you know, we can't do a 10-hour show, you know? So it's the same thing. It's like, and then looking back and going, yeah. Oh my God, I had a blast doing that, whatever it was, you know? And that's why I say that there's moments, obviously, when you're in there and you're like, oh my God, this is my job. You know, because that's every job, you know, but but that lasts. I tell you what, when you're in that studio, like mocap studio, so I built that damn thing. I made sure, like, you know, anybody coming in had that, you know, that nice feeling and that environment where, you know, you're welcome here. You know, it's like a friggin' temple. You know, nice. Like the Shaolin Temple or
yeah.
or anybody walking into a dojo, walking into, you know, your school, you know, a wushu mm-hmm. school, Shaolin Temple, you know, or you're in China and you walk into your master's house, or you're in Japan and you walk into the dojo, you know, and you just want that feeling of like, okay, I'm going to get stuff done here today. This is what I'm focusing on. And sometimes when you're with friends, you're going to have a laugh. And sometimes you're going to have a bad day, but there's going to be a little things to look back on that'll keep you going the next day. And you're going to be like, you know what? I got to be better tomorrow. Today, I Absolutely. Fucking sucked. I got, you know, so that's, it's like everything, but that's, you know, there's the yeah. answer for, you know, I don't know how long that was, a half hour or whatever, but you know, it's just, you guys, everybody does. Answer. Everybody brings out,
I love it.
Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Thank you. Everybody brings out that, like, you know, when it, and I tell this to all the friends I meet out there. Once again,
wow.
you fans
Chris,
are
gotta
not,
bring up a right
you're
toe.
Not fans, you're friends. Yeah. Oh my God. That was that's a good one. Yeah. So let's move on to that. If you want to move on to that, we can, you know,
yeah. Like, well, I was going to ask, what was it like, voicing such a hilarious character, and would you be willing to give us some quotes, perhaps even from that famous fatality you mentioned previously?
That's a stinky one. Can you do that?
No, that stink. You know what? I can't remember all the, you know, this once again was an honor. You know, it's the sound guys, Dan Ford and Rich Carl, you know, at NetherRealm Studio, asking you to go in and voice like a character that you motion captured. And, you know, another guy, Herman Sanchez, and, you know, Ed yeah. Boon, and, you know, a bunch of other guys had helped, you know, to define and create, you know, and name, you know, Borracho. And this is, and I think this is Herman's idea, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I, you know, it's so long ago, but Herman came up with that name, but he split it up as in Borracho, but Borracho in Spanish is drunkard, you know? And at the time, you
when
know,
I read that,
knew
that
I was, you know,
hilarious.
Yeah. That's fucking, it was
on Deadly Alliance
like,
behind the scenes.
Now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
that was one of the things
card.
Like,
one of
Ed,
the, yeah.
Yeah, one of those two. One of the conquest mode cards that came up. That type of thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meaning like the video that came up and had an exploit. Yeah, it's exactly. So that was one of those. Ed knew, like, hey, you're into drunken, you know, drunken style. That's, you know, the thing that you did back in the, you know, the 80s. And, you know, let's do Borracho that way. And plus, you know, you got to be fat. And, you know, you get, yeah, I'm an actor, you know. And once again, method actors draw on, you know, more or less, and I, this is not a definition of, you know, this is the end all definition, but I look at method actors as they draw on experience and know how to translate that to get you what you, what the director needs or the viewer to accept. So I can't remember all the quotes, you know, there, I would go in and I would just say, just gobbledygook garbage, you know, like, you know, because I'm not, you know, fluent in Japanese or Chinese, you know, a little Chinese, like ni hao, and some of the stuff was improvised, and, you know, and I'm not the greatest audio person, so you got Dan Forden and Rich Carl and a bunch of other guys in there, and they're coaching me, because they have to coach me, because I'm not a professional audio people, hats off to you, because you, you know, just like every little minuscule microscopic job, or I hate saying job, everything that anybody touches in development, whatever the developer does, they're fucking awesome. And then the people they get in, those audio people, facial people, everybody, they're so talented. Yeah. And, you know, just having the ability to somebody boil down. And once again, this is why I go back to, you have to boil down certain things to people, because you're on a limited budget at the time. You know, now obviously you can get like professionals in or non, you know, if you're a smaller studio, obviously heed what I have to say. Boil everything down so people understand it and try to translate that. If you can't, then get somebody who does. But, you know, I got these guys coaching me, and thank the Lord I have patience. Thank the Almighty that he gave me patience to be able to like absorb that like a sponge, you know, because those guys are like, no, articulate, but don't stop, you know what I mean? Like me doing that is exaggerating, you know, just enunciate every word, try to do it this way. No, that was kind of garbled, you know, and then, you know, just going in, you would, and I don't mean to do this as, or sound as I'm disrespectful to a culture. And I have to say that because, you know, obviously you don't want to disrespect, but, you know, when you're doing that Borracho voice and you're like, you know, you're trying to do, you know, Japanese or, you know, Chinese, like, you know, and just meld it all together. And you're trying to give that respect. But, you know, in the studio, I don't have a month to prep, you know, the game's got to go out. And, you know, at the time, this guy is available. We got to do this right away. This is kind of an homage to that type of, you know, that type of culture or history, you know, and it's not making fun of it. It's that we were trying our best to replicate, you know, and give it honor, whatever we did, you know, and that's what at least I tried to do, you know what I mean, with Borracho. And then doing the moves were pretty simple. I mean, on my end, because, you know, I come from a martial arts, Chinese martial arts background with that head. You know, that was my thing in the 80s. You know, everybody else focused on, you know, Ho Sung could do the northern Chun Chuan style very well. Good jumper. You know, my brother all around could do any, you know, you say do this, he can do it. Obviously, he can teach you contemporary now. He can't do it so much like, you know, an 18-year-old. But if he had to, I'm sure pressed, he could do it. But we all had to pick, you know, because we're all the, and in our eyes, it's early on, nobody's doing wushu back in the 80s other than us when we started doing the circuit. And in our eyes, you know, once again, when you're young, sometimes you're arrogant and you're viewing it as we're the cream of the crop. Nobody else is doing this, you know, and we're the shit. Sometimes you gotta, you know, looking back, you know, that's good for motivation, but what it also made us competitive with each other, but it also made us focus on abilities that we were able to do and not compete with each other because we respected each other. And we knew, like, okay, Ho Sung's gonna go up there and try to do, you know his Chun Chuan form, you know, a contemporary form, and, you know, he's gonna compete in Nazca and do that. And then, oh, my brother's gonna compete with him, but he's in the older belt division. I kind of don't want to compete with Ho Sung because, you know, in your head, you're like, well, I want my brother to win. Meaning, and when I mean brother, Ho Sung Pak, Rich DeVizio, they're all my brothers. You know, John Parrish, all brothers. I got a story about Parrish. He's fucking fantastic. I'll touch on that right after this. I just remembered.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not about the dancing at the Midwest Gaming Classic, which is, God, that guy's a monster. He's just got that energy. Like, anyways. So we, you know, you have to boil it down to, you don't want to compete with each other. I'm into, you know, I got to pick, like, well, I like Southern. I like Cha Chuan. I like, you know, all these styles. And, like, you know what? I'm kind of good at drunken style. I'll do contemporary drunken. And, you know, and just knowing that kind of applied to Borracho and all of his moves. And then also, you know, helping with Nigel Casey and Ed kind of define the combat. Cause at the time there were, you know, back in MK5 through seven, you know, we had Paulo Garcia. That guy's fantastic. Trying to balance the game, that designer, him and John Edwards, you know, and you got Brian LeBaron, you got, you know, Nick Nicastro, you got all those guys, you know, you got Portillo, Mike Portillo. You got all, you know, he's not there anymore, but you got, you know, those guys are fantastic. You know, the combat guys are fantastic, but I had to do their job when they weren't, you know, there yet. And we didn't have enough combat guys, you know, and I had to, you know, I also shared that with, you know, Paulo and, you know, Ed. And at the time we're all, you know, in the studio and, you know, at the time there were no combat designers. They were like, yeah, just, you know. You know, that's like saying MK1 and 2, you know, like, you had, you know, to boil it down, you had my brother, myself, John, Ed, all those guys, combat designers, you know what I mean? We had to have many, switch the hat out, you know, different roles. We had to have, like, multiple roles, you know? So, having the ability to do Drunken and go, hey, in Drunken there, these moves, set them all out, you know. And I think in the Crypt, or, you know, or whatever they called it back then, you know, they had my little, you know, pictures with the, what I would do in the designs. And, you know, I worked with Paulo and Ed on the hit boxes, like, you know, this is what you want to hit, and this is how we want to, you know. And at the time, I you know, I'm not as good as those guys. I was still learning, and they're like, oh, just give us a bunch of different hits, and then we'll string them all together, and then the animator will try to polish them up afterwards when we balance the game, you know. And it becomes difficult, because at the time, you know, you go from like 5 or 6 guys to, you know, 20 guys, and you're still, the game gets bigger, and your crew's not exponentially getting as big as the game. It's still like we had 8 guys, and not saying, you know, the other 12 people were non-existent. It's just the fact that the content got so large, but we still managed to do it because we loved doing that the content. But what, you know, Paulo and Ed and those guys would do were string them all together and go, oh, and then eventually I would learn that and go, oh, so you want, you know, high low, and this translate up back until the last game I was doing with developing with NetherRealm. You know, I could work with a combat guy, and when we're in the studio, I could say, hey, do high low, you know, because a combat designer would say, I want high low, these are the moves I want, and then I would translate that to the, you know, the actor who's in the actual capture space, you know, volume. And sometimes it had to be me, or sometimes it would it would be the actual actor. And sometimes you would, you know, when you're doing your day reads or you're prepping, you would say, hey, you know, you did that move, like, and it's very difficult, because I've done this back in the day where, like, do sidekick. How many, you know, there's 5 sidekicks in this character. Let's kind of change that up so it's only like 2 sidekicks. You know, one sidekick will be spinning back sidekick. The other one will be a hop sidekick, or, you know what I mean? You'll try to make it different so that way our friends out there who are actually, like, you know, competing won't look at it and go, oh, that's just the same sidekick 5 times over. You know what I mean? Who wants to see? Obviously, there's a reason why you have, you know, 1-1-1. You know, it has to be that way. But sometimes you want to split it up where it's 1-1, and then it's still the same, you know, the same hitbox, but you want a different look. You know, and that you know, Paulo and Ed and those guys taught me that, you know, because, you know, going into it, you're learning, and you're trying to, once again, absorb all of that and trying to retain that so you could, you know, mitigate as much as possible the time constraints that you have when you're in the development cycle. So
yeah,
but with John Parrish,
well, Carlos,
I remember, go ahead.
Oh, no, you can quickly say the story, but we got to start wrapping up there. We only got a few more minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, because I ramble on. Real quick, the John Parrish story. When we were at Lakeshore Athletic Club and he did the Jack stuff, you know, there were, because he's ripped, dude, and we were trying to, some of us were trying to get ripped back then. But he had, I remember he had a meal plan for me, and I did it for like 2 months, and I've never been, and we're talking, I must have been like, you know, 20, 22. I've never been so shredded. But that guy had so, like, and once again, it's a wealth of knowledge that you have to absorb. So that's just a quick story I had with him. Awesome guy to hang out with, you know. And so,
He was great. We had him on the show.
I just want to say,
he's great.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic. He can talk just like me, you know. You know what? There should be, and everybody should do this for their podcast. We should have, like, you know, and everybody, because we could all talk for hours, and everybody could have different, you know. And I don't want to, like, promote anybody else, but, you know, just should have all of us on and just reflect and discuss, you know, because there's situations where
that's the dream,
you know. Rich will say something, and I'm like, oh, but remember when you did this? And then, you know, you did this good, or you did this okay. You were, you know, cashing in, and or you fucked up here. Or, dude, I didn't know you had that in you. You were fucking fantastic. No. So, but I do want to say this, and I know we're wrapping up, but I just want to say thank you very much. I really appreciate this. It is a blessing. It is, you know, it's... a talent that God has given me. You know, it's on loan. No, I have to give it back. I appreciate it. I also appreciate the friends that all supported us during all these times, you know, and we're talking, this is 30 plus years because I worked on the game longer than, because 30 years is, hey, that's when the game came out, but we worked on it longer than that. I want to thank John Tobias. I want to thank Ed Boone. I want to thank especially my brother, Daniel Piscina, you know, because it's, having a brother like that being able to work with, and this is everybody, family, being able to work with Hosung, being able to work with Rich DeVizio, my friend for like ages, you know, and having that connection, you know, gentlemen like you, yourself, because, you know, you allowed me to, you know, come into your dojo and actually like, you know, take over for a little bit and, appreciate, humbly, you know, give my experience that is reflective of just myself and not of, you know, obviously there might be one or two things I might have, you know, forgotten, but, you know, it's just, I'm thankful for my family and my friends and, you know, and the Lord. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, well said. Well, and just so, before we wrap up, we're going to really test your might here, and we're going to do a rapid-fire question segment called Final Round. So here we go. We're going to try to get this done as soon as we can. And first question is your all-time favorite food, Carlos.
I have none because I cook different once again, I cook different things every day during the pandemic. I made sure I made a different meal while we had to stay home, but I also had to go into the studio. But I made sure that, you know, because I have my parents here, I made sure every meal was different every day for the past, I would say, 16 months. And that's very difficult to do. But all-time favorite, I think, would have to be pizza.
Oh, quick side question. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
My brother will say no. I'm of a different school. That's not, I'll go out of my way to order it. But if somebody did order it, and, you know, I've had pineapple on pizza, and I don't see what the, you know, what the. I get it. Everybody's different. And I just don't get, you know, people put a lot of stuff on pizza that I wouldn't eat. You know what I mean? Like anchovies. But, you know, belongs on pizza. People like it. So, you know. But don't tell my brother because he'll beat my ass. And, you know. Just let Daniel Piscina know, like, yes, pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
What's your guilty pleasure?
I have many of them. Let's see. First one foremost, smoking cigars. Love cigars, but I'm on and off. I quit sometimes for like years, and then sometimes like this year. You know, I'm relaxed. I'm retired. You know, I'm a contractor, work for myself. I just will sit outside, you know, and just have a great smoke. I appreciate any and all cigars and, you know, alcohol, meaning not like excessively.
I see it on your Instagram. It,
like, yeah, exactly. Like a Grand Marnier, anything. And people will throw like, and I'm not saying throw drink ideas, but they'll say, hey, have you tried this whiskey yet? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll try it. You know, and I am a tequila snob. I'm gonna say this. I am a tequila snob, and there's I'm not promoting any one brand, but I love Casamigos, and you know, I'll drink any of them. You know, and Hornitos, because that's obviously from, you know, my mom and dad love Hornitos, so I drink that because they appreciate it. When I mean drink, it's like, hey, we'll have we'll toast to somebody, you know, whether they passed away, a birthday or whatever, and then, you know, we won't drink for a while.
So the next question is, if you could have any superpower, what would you choose and why?
This is great because I always ask for this every day. I would ask for, and to me, it's this is a superpower. It's wisdom. It's being able to... And to boil it down, it's knowing knowledge that you know in 100 years, and you're able to understand it within a millisecond. So And it's wisdom for anything. You know what I mean? Whatever you can apply that to anything. And obviously flying, you know, that's pretty cool. But, you know, you might run into some issues with that, you know, and that's all the only thing you can do. Or I got heat vision. Let me light everybody's cigar. But for me, it would be wisdom, you know, because with that, you can build strength. Because you could know, like, oh, I got to do this. Or if there was a secret magical way to get the laser beam eyes, you know, with wisdom, if I knew it, you know, that secret, then all I need to do is apply that. And then I have it all, you know. But, you know, we're all mortal, so.
Very nice.
That's awesome.
And last final question. What are some of your secret talents?
There's some of my secret talents. I don't think I have any. I mean, it's
something most people don't know about you.
Wow, that's I'm a good cook. Obviously, people know that already, though. I make great drinks. I only use top shelf, what I think is top shelf. Good bartender. What else? Good dog walker. I'm good with chickens, taking care of chickens. I'm not great at horses like Jennifer, but she's pretty good with that.
There you go.
You know what? Here's one. Here's one, people, but they see it. They see it because I put it out there. You know what I mean? Everything I kind of think I know what, lawn maintenance, landscaping. You know what I mean? I got like, I don't know if you could see all of that. Like, I can have
see
to
some
mow,
of your pictures.
Like,
can tell, yeah.
Yeah, I got to mow like, it's close to 7 acres in the back here, you know, and I could do it in 2 hours. I guess that's something nobody knows about, you know, and then you got to learn a pattern. Once again, this disseminates down to that sponge or in wisdom. Try to get, you know everything. And it's almost like crunching for a test, trying to like, oh, shit, I got all this property. Now I got to cut the grass. Got to learn that on YouTube, you know, or wherever.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been an honor to have you on the show today, Carlos. We greatly appreciate you and all your wonderful work on this amazing franchise. But before we go, where can our followers catch you? Which social medias do you have? And is there anything else you'd like to promote at this time?
Right now, I am on Instagram. That's where you can catch me. I think I'm not set to private anymore, so everybody can follow me. You can ping me, you can message me, but don't like secret message me. Because I just have too many people and sifting through that. I don't want to I have people asking me questions of like, you know, I hate bringing this up. And it's okay. You know, like, hey, so I heard there was a rift back in the day. And it's like, I don't want to get involved with any, not involved with any of that. That's in the past. We're here to talk about, you know yeah. we're all together. Yeah. This is the 30th. Let's enjoy this, you know, and put, you know, once again, when you walk into the motion capture studio, put all your shit behind the door because, you know, I'm the head honcho in charge right now. I'm not the head honcho, but you're going to be the star. Listen to everybody. Everybody be humble. Let's all work together and make the fucking best thing we can do this year for the 30th. Let's just
hell yeah.
Everything exactly. We could do. I mean, because we all have history. You know, we all have, you know, there are a ton of stories that haven't. Yeah, and I'm not saying it's leaked or haven't been, said or anything. It's just one of those things. It's in all our memories that we can't, you know, until we get together collectively, including yourselves. You guys, I have a lot of fans that are, and friends. I got to get out of that. You know, I have all the friends. You guys, you know, I didn't ask you anything, but when we get together and if you guys are, you know, ever see me at any place, I really want to ask. There's a bunch of questions I got to ask.
I will, October.
Everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Please.
We'll have to do this again.
October is going
to
be a blast. With the Midwest Gaming Classic was the first one I did, and I was able to, as a free agent, go out there and kind of promote myself.
Yeah,
and
watch
just
that,
had a blast with everybody. It was just fantastic. I didn't, you know, there was not one person that you would, you know. Just talk to everybody, you know, literally, you know, like a half hour to an hour during the parties and, you know, out there enjoying Tony Marquez and his band and, you know, having holy cow, where can you go to have drinks with your friends?
The music
and the fan, and, you know, everybody, us included, you know what I mean? And have drinks and bullshit about like our childhoods and, you know, not, there was never one fight, one argument, or one, you know, anything. And all races, everybody together. It's just so beautiful. You know, the MK community is fantastic, you know. Oh, one more thing. I see Perfect Legend out there. You motherfucker. No, he's awesome. That guy is awesome. But, yeah. No, he is. He's fantastic. One of our first signings, I met him there, and we just hit it off. And he's like, dude, I'm really tired. I just got through, you know. And we used him at NetherRealm to test the game. And he's like, dude, I just got off, and, you know, I'm freaking exhausted. You know, I'm testing the game for 24 hours. Can I just take a nap back here? And I'm like, brother, go, you know. So, anyways, just well, on
Carlos,
Instagram, message me.
Thank you so much
me.
For your time, thank man. We awesome. All right.
Yeah,
well, you have
it.
Yourself a lovely day. And me and Chris are really looking forward to speaking with you again sometime.
Guys, God thank bless. You so thank you again for the opportunity. Love you guys. Love everybody. Bye.
Much love. Bye. God bless. And there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Said straight from the man who gives his opponents quite the shock. It's been a lot of fun to kick off this week with such an intriguing interview. We hope you certainly enjoyed today's show, and we're very much looking forward to seeing you in the next one. All the kind support for Kamadugu means the world to us, and I'm sure a lot of you have that certain phrase in mind right now, who's next? Keep your eyes peeled on our channel for some exciting announcements in the near future. You know the deal. Have fun, stay safe, and
stay flawless.